By now, you've heard the two-word phrase, social distance. Most of us had not even heard those two words before a few weeks ago, but will remember them the rest of our lives. In a recent New York Times article, the director of infectious diseases at the University of Alabama in Birmingham said, "These are not normal times. This is not a drill. We have never been through anything like this before." I don't know exactly how you're feeling about all that's happening, but if you're like me, the disruption has caused some anxiety in you and in the hearts of the people that are in your home. I know for certain it's caused anxiety in the neighborhoods that make up our cities. Like you, I've seen pictures of empty grocery aisles, and it's mind-boggling to think about what people are purchasing and what they're not purchasing. Like my friend Jim posted online a picture of an empty freezer, except for there was one thing left, and it was bags of lima beans, which proves the point I tried to make to my mother when I was a kid, that they're disgusting. Well, even more stressful than empty grocery aisles, it's the stress or the thought of the dismal economy. It's not a good thing when the cost of a barrel of oil gets so low. You know this. And for many people, all of this is coming on top of lives that are already stressed, overextended, and anxious. So if you're anxious, you're not alone. I'm feeling it, and most people you know are feeling it. Anxiety, it's like that red or orange warning light on the dashboard of our vehicle. When that light comes on, it indicates that something under the hood is not working right. It's not working the way it should be. Now, no matter what your car's like and how old or new is, when that warning light comes on, it cannot be ignored for very long. You know, and I know, that that warning light means that we have to try to fix it, or that car is going to cease to be able to work and move where you need it to go. And so with all that in mind, I have one main idea that I'm driving after today, something I want to just set in your heart in hopes of it helping you to connect with God in this Link series. Here's the main idea. With prayer, over time, you will feel less anxious and experience more peace. Now, I don't know all that there is to know about your anxiety, but I do know that God has wired your brain to try everything you can to relieve the anxiety you're feeling. Our brain searches for some kind of experience that will relieve stress. And the question becomes, does God have what we need in anxious times? Like, is God interested in what's going on in our hearts and in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our city right now? Does God even really care? The Bible makes it clear that God does care. And I want you to know that it is possible to experience peaceful moments. Believe this. It is possible to experience peaceful moments, days, weeks, months, and even years. And I'm talking about the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, God gives us a plan for this kind of peace through the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 4, which is a passage we'll be talking about today. So if you have a Bible, open it up to the book of Philippians chapter 4. We're going to be reading verses 4 through 7. Paul writes this letter to the Philippians. It's a fledgling church, and he's writing this letter after the time that Jesus walked on earth and was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. Paul has made his way through Philippi, and it's about 10 years before he writes the letter, and he makes his way through Philippi, and he's telling them about the Christian faith and what God has done through Christ to make a way for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be reconciled to God, for us to be made at peace with God. And people have believed, the church is growing, and Paul goes on his way, and then Paul hears about some things that are going on in Philippi, so he writes him a letter. He does this several times to different churches, and we see these letters in the New Testament. And in this letter, believe it or not, Paul is writing about joy in hopes of relieving the anxiety felt by the Philippians, and his aim is to help them to connect with God. And wouldn't you be surprised to know that Paul's actually writing this while in prison. So we pick up in Philippians chapter 4, verse 4, and it says this, Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness, and another translation uses the word gentleness there, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand, or the Lord is near. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, that's what we want, which surpasses or transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So I want us to focus here in verse 6, where the words say, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Maybe you've heard this verse. I read a recent research that showed that this verse was a most highlighted verse in all of Amazon's recordings of highlighted verses on the Kindle. It's a very popular verse. It's one we all need. And it's important in these anxious times. Well, here Paul is saying these words, himself being in a situation that would cause anxiety. He, as I've already mentioned, was in prison. And most of us would say that he was unfairly in prison. And you might feel like Paul did now as you're trapped in your house for most of the day, unfairly imprisoned by the coronavirus. Maybe you feel like your prison mates or your spouse and your kids. There's a lot about his imprisonment and yours that should give you an anxious heart. And Paul's writing to a group of people with anxious hearts. It is the human condition, right? It really is. We live in a world that is broken by sin, and we all experience the sense that something is just not right. And when we experience that on a daily basis, over time, our hearts can begin spinning and feeling anxious. And we have that feeling within us. It's like a vibration or like an electricity that just won't go away. We need help. You want help. And Paul gives us a two-part plan. It's a simple two-part plan. There's a do not, and then there's a do. The do not is do not be anxious. And the do is do let your requests be made known to God. And what Paul says is that if you do these two things, that God will give you peace that transcends understanding. So how do we do these things? So how do not be anxious? It's kind of a funny phrase, right? Like if it were that easy, just, hey, quit being anxious, then we can all go about our ways being peaceful kind of people. It reads a bit like Paul is telling us to deal with the warning light on the vehicle by just covering up with a piece of tape. Just choose not to look at it. When he says, do not be anxious, it might make you feel like, well, that's impossible. You cannot not ignore that there's something underneath the surface that's causing you to feel anxious. And so I don't think Paul is saying just, hey, stop feeling anxious. Hey, just ignore the warning sign. But I think we all know that we make choices that can make us feel more anxious. Those are the things that we must stop doing. Here's an example. I would strongly encourage you to limit the consumption of news that you're reading, hearing, the news about the spreading virus and about the sinking economy. Sure, it's good to be informed and make sure you're reading reliable news sources. But if every time you pick up your phone, you're reading something about how the virus is spreading, how now it's affected over 200,000 people, how all these people have died, all these people are sick, the risk to the young, risk to the old. If you just overwhelm your heart with all of this negative news, then it will stir in you anxiety that's hard to feel peaceful in the midst of. So when he says, do not be anxious, what I would say to you is do not consume a lot of news about all the bad things that are going on. A second do not that you could do, just practically, is do not talk about it right when you get up or just before you go to bed. Now, this is a real practical one, but I would encourage you, when you get up in the morning, don't immediately begin to read about what is happening in our world with regard to the virus or the economy or whatever else stresses you out. When you get up in the morning, what we want you to do is spend some time with God. We want you to spend some time reading God's word and be encouraged by God's word and talking to God. One thing that we're going to do as a church is we're going to provide every single day, a little 2 or 3 minute devotional. It's going to be done not by me, but by other leaders in our church. Just something you can wake up to, a thought based on a passage of scripture to encourage you, to help you get your eyes focused on Jesus for the day. So don't start the day by consuming news that's going to create anxiety in you. Instead, start the day by keeping your eyes on God. And certainly that would be the case before you go to bed. Don't go into your sleep filling your mind, your heart with all these things that are going to create anxiety for you. A third thing that you can choose to not do that will help you obey this command to do not be anxious is do not consume in food and drink things that are going to hurt your body or put your body in a position that it's not going to work quite right. This is very common. We're comforting ourselves with different food and drink. Sometimes it's not great for us, and it's hard for me to choose otherwise. I mean, we have some really great ice cream in our freezer right now, and I've not been making great choices in that area because it feels good in the moment to eat it. It comforts you in the moment. But if that is the way you're going to live for the next few days or weeks, eventually it's going to have a negative impact on the way your body works. So when Paul says, do not be anxious, those are the things that come to my mind that we can choose not to do. All right? But we don't just stop there, because what he says is that there's something that we can do. So we replace the things that we're not doing with something that we are doing. And here's what we are doing. Verse 6, in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Here's what you must do. Pray to God. Hey, your social calendar just got cleared for a couple of months. I know it's strange. Your lives have been disrupted. Many of you are not able to go into work as often or even at all. There's going to be a lot of time at home, and for some of you, a lot of time in front of the computer, a lot of time with your spouse, if you're married, or your roommate. For those of you that have kids, there's going to be a lot of time with your kids, and all of our social lives have been completely reoriented. And here's the thing. You have time that you didn't feel like you had before. And so rather than just frittering it away on binging Netflix or some other thing that has no eternal impact, what I would encourage you to do is set aside time every single day to pray to God, to talk to God. I want you to imagine your home, in your home, that there's a plus one now. So in our home, we have six creatures. I have one wife. She's the most beautiful of all creatures. I have four kids, and we have a dog. They're the ones that I get to talk to every single day. I listen to their words. They listen to mine sometimes. I ask for them for help. They ask me for help. I tell them how I'm feeling. I chat with them about things that matter and some things that don't matter. I know more now about Fortnite and about Call of Duty and about these shows that are on Disney than I ever wanted to know. But we talk. We're interacting. These are my people right now more than any other time. They're the ones I'm hanging out with and spending time with. I laugh with them. We have fun together. I even at times use my words in communicating to them things that I'm frustrated about or am angry about. This is also normal, right? In that kind of relationship. Well, now I'm being mindful of the fact that there's a plus one in my home. You see, even if you're single and you're in home, you don't have your home, you're stuck in your home, you don't have a roommate, you're not alone. God is there. So in our home, I don't just have six other people to talk to. There's another person that I get to talk to. God Almighty, the creator of the universe. And I promise you this, I'm going to start talking to God in my home, just like I talk to everyone else. Now, my kids may think I'm crazy, but I want them to know, just like I want you to know, that you can talk to God as if he's another person in your home. And here's what God's word says. With prayer, over time, you will feel less anxious and you'll experience more peace. I put together a graphic to help you understand this. It helps me understand that. So over time, the feeling of stress can be reduced and the feeling of peace can be increased. And what moves us along that continuum is prayer. Now, it does take time. There's not any sort of magic prayer that if I just say this one thing, that all of a sudden I'll go from being an anxious person to a peaceful person. But over time, if you are intentional and committed to praying to God, then what will happen is your anxiety will decrease, your peace will increase. It's what you want. It's what I want. And here's the thing. When you pray, you can talk to God with an expectation that He will respond. Now, do you doubt this? Some of you might. You're watching this and you're wondering, does God really respond to our prayers? I want you to know that God will show up. His presence will be felt in your heart and in your home if you commit yourself to praying. He's proven that He'll show up whenever He put on flesh, came to the earth in the form of the man we call Jesus. He showed up in the lives of people that needed Him, the sick, the outsider, the lonely. God has proven through Jesus that He will show up when we need Him. And I promise you this, you can expect God to respond with peace, guarding your heart whenever you pray. Paul says it right there. When you pray, you will get a peace, the kind of peace that guards your heart in Christ Jesus. God will respond by showing up to guard our hearts with peace. And that's what we're doing. As we're praying, we're inviting peace to surround our hearts. It builds a defense against the things that can create anxiety. There's only been one time in my life where I felt like I needed guards. This is a few years back. I was speaking regularly at the church, and there was somebody in the congregation that got upset with me about something. And that person posted a threat against my family. And it was serious enough that we decided that I needed to have some security, which felt pretty awesome, by the way, walking around the church with security. But it was a very real threat. And the strange thing about it is that person continued to come to church. And as I look back on those days, I think about what it was like to be guarded, to be protected. Sure, there were things that were going on that could have created fear and anxiety in me, but here's what I did know. I knew that there was someone guarding me and guarding my family. And so because of that, I was able to go about my normal life. I was able to go about doing what I was called to do and God had given me opportunity to do. We had guards to protect us, so I didn't let anxiety cripple me. In fact, I had a lot of peace, and I continued to experience the peace of life with Jesus Christ. And thank God nothing happened, and eventually the situation changed, and so it was no longer a threat. But here's how prayer works. Whenever you pray to God and commit to that, which is really what I want you to do, whenever you commit to praying, over time, your anxiety will decrease, your peace will increase, so that you can go about experiencing the life that God has for you in Christ. So you have anxiety. If you want peace, begin to pray. Whenever things get stressful at home because your kids, well, they're spending a little bit too much time in heated fellowship with one another. Or maybe your spouse is getting on your nerves, or your roommate is, or maybe you're feeling some anxiety because things at work are uncertain, or maybe you're feeling some anxiety because you've recently lost your job. You can talk to God like a friend. It doesn't have to be a collection of really polished phrases for God to listen. It needs to be from your heart. So if you have anxiety and you want peace, I want to just charge you, like Paul gives us his plan to do. Do not be anxious, but instead, let your requests be made known to God. Talk to God like a friend living in your home, and in time, your anxiety will be calmed and peace will be yours through Jesus Christ. This is available to everyone. And maybe you're watching this and you've never crossed over the line of faith and you're not even sure how to have a relationship with God. Well, here's the thing. God has made a way for your sin to be forgiven, for the thing that separates you from God to be erased. And that is by sending Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And there's a mysterious exchange where your sin goes to Him through faith. His righteousness is given to you, which allows you to come confidently into the presence of God, knowing that you're no longer an enemy of God, but you are a friend of God, a child of God, at peace with God Almighty. That's what we call becoming a Christian, or Christ follower, being born again, being saved. There's all kinds of words that we use to talk about that moment where you repent of sin and you place your faith in God because of what Jesus Christ has done for you. So I would encourage you, if you're watching this and you've never crossed over the line of faith, to do that today. You can do it right there in your living room or at your computer. And then let us know about it. So send us a direct message and let us know that you've made that decision so that we can help you get connected and begin taking steps to experiencing the peace of life with Jesus Christ every single day. And for all of you, I want to call you to action with this really specific thing. I want you to set 2 reminders on your phone. Set a reminder for the morning. At whatever point you think you're going to get up and have that cup of coffee or tea, or maybe while you're eating breakfast or just before you're going to eat breakfast, set a reminder. Put as the reminder, eyes on God. Or something else, like pray to God. Just something that reminds you to start your day with your focus on God. Because remember, if we pray, over time, our anxiety will decrease, our peace will increase, so that we can fully experience the life God has for us. So set a reminder for the morning, and then also set a reminder for late afternoon or the evening. And on that reminder, what I want you to do in your time of prayer is I want you to think back over your day and just talk to God about the points in your day where you felt like God was present. And maybe there will be points that you don't know that God was present. Maybe parts of the day where they were hard for you. And just talk to God about that. I would just want to encourage you to set your eyes on God in prayer. And set your hearts on God in prayer. So in the morning, set a reminder. In the evening, set a reminder. Let's all do that together so that we can see God stir up within our church and within our community a heart of prayer and conversation and connection with God. So I don't want us to dial down the intensity of what we're doing to seek God. I want instead for us to raise the level of expectation for one another, because I believe that all that's happening to disrupt the normalcy of our lives is going to be used by God for His glory and for your good, and to see God do something great in this city. I hope that you believe that. I know I do. So I'm going to pray for us, and then Andrew is going to come and share a bit about how you can respond. God Almighty, we love you. And God, I pray that I would become even more a person of prayer. I confess to you, God, that I am far too dependent upon what I can do in my own strength. God, there are some anxious moments in my day and some anxious days of my week. So God, I pray that you would help me and those that are listening to set our hearts and minds on you, and that we would be able to regularly make our requests to you with a thankful heart, with expectation, knowing that in time, our anxiety will decrease, our peace will increase, and that you will provide a guard for our hearts, the kind of peace that surpasses all understanding. So Lord, this is the word for the day. I pray we would obey it. We love you, and I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.